This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast into the 7 o'clock hour. Hey, I know the game is on Monday, but we are still going to do some of the elements that we do on a Football Friday. Because why not? We're going to do Circle of Swarm in about 20 minutes or so. Seth, you ready to do a Circle of Swarm for week 11?
I'm ready. Okay. I know. You know, I'm always nervous about Circle of Swarm.
You're nervous about Circle of anything. Circle of Trust, Circle of Swarm.
Yeah. I mean, nervous isn't the right word. It's just like, it's something that I've got to do. It's like going to the dentist.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It's like, I've got to do it, but I'm going to attack it,
yep.
Sean.
I know.
And I'll be a soldier.
I know you throughout. Will. I know you will.
It's like Dr. Wahid will tell you. That's
your,
what he
your
says
dentist,
whenever
yeah.
Oh, like, oh, he's Seth Payne's one of your patients?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a soldier.
He's a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
He swarms in the dentist yep. chair. Yeah. All right. So let's, so we'll get to that in about 20 minutes or so. CJ Stroud, yesterday there was a theme, I thought, to the press conference. Towards the end of the press conference, D'Amico and CJ both met with the media yesterday. D'Amico was asked what he wants to see from C.J. Stroud. I thought this was interesting.
I like to see C.J. just go out and cut it loose, right? You know, a lot has been probably said about the miscues of what C.J. has done. But C.J. has done a lot of great things for our team throughout this entire year. Full, complete trust in C.J. Let him go out and rip it. Cut it loose, play fast, play fun, man. C.J. is why we are where we are right now, right? We're sitting in a really good spot because of him, and he's an exceptional talent. I love working with C.J. I love his mindset, and I'm looking for him to come out and attack this game.
You know, there is, I think if you look at it, where we talked about this earlier, you get over the period where you're trying to recover from a disappointing loss. And then you start to remember, all right, okay, they got this to look forward to. They got Nico Collins coming back. All right. Then things going to be good. I'm glad that CJ has gone through this adversity. I think it's something that every young quarterback is going to have to do at some point. Pat Mahomes went through it. The first year they won their Super Bowl, the Chiefs were not looking very good at all midway through the season.
Yep.
And you grow through it, and you learn. CJ's going to be a lot better with Nico Collins in the game. But I think in that last game even, you can point to just him getting more comfortable with John Mechie, I think.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah.
And Casario in his show with Mark and John the other day had said, hey, Mechie's been open. You know, like, he's had opportunities, and I do think that there's been moments in the last few weeks where CJ just wasn't as comfortable with Mechie or with Xavier Hutchinson as he was with those top three guys. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, there were a couple plays where I thought, man, I don't know if that were, you know, where Xavier Hutchinson or John Mechie were coming open on outs,
yeah.
And I feel like CJ would have pulled the trigger if it were Nico.
He'd have
or
trusted
if it were Stephon
Nico.
Diggs,
yep.
Where he didn't throw it to those guys.
Yeah.
So we saw John Metchie get steadily more involved. I think that's one of the lessons that CJ maybe has had to learn is that, yeah, it's not always going to feel as automatic. You know, I got to remember that those guys are out there for a reason.
Metchie was targeted 6 times. He was open way more than that in that game.
Yeah.
John Metchie was open a lot in that game, if you go back and watch it. And that would be a really fun, unexpected, like almost heartwarming in a way because of Metchie's story, development, that if Stephon Diggs goes out with a torn ACL, but John Metchie develops into a viable number 3 to Tank and Nico, that would be really, really cool. It'd be really beneficial. I mean, forget about it being a cool story, like with John Metchie's, you know, with cancer and everything else. Yeah. Like, they need that. You know, they need that option.
I need it for John Metchie, too. I'd like John Metchie to have enough sustained success that he doesn't have to answer questions about his struggle with cancer the entire time. That's one of those. These guys, I feel bad for, because they're going to get asked every single interview about cancer, and it gets to a point where, you know, like, yes, it's an awesome story,
right,
but I've talked about it so many times, I can't give an inspirational story every time I talk about this.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I'd like to get to the point where John Metchie has just been established himself in his own regard as a good football player to where he only every now and then has to answer the questions about cancer.
I agree with you on that. Here was C.J. Stroud yesterday. C.J. appeared right after D'Amico, and the very first question was about D'Amico's final question. D'Amico answering about CJ, and then CJ steps up and they said, hey, your head coach just said you should just let it rip.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I try to, you know, not only just make plays, but, you know, try to take care of the football and, you know, do the right things to, you know, win the game. And, you know, sometimes they go their way, sometimes they don't. So, you know, that means a lot. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm not just a game manager. I can be a game changer. And, you know, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. And for me, I'm going to keep the swag. And kind of just like what I told y'all last year, like Steph Curry can go 0 for whatever, but he's going to keep shooting. So, you know, that's for me. I'm going to just keep shooting, keep trusting myself, keep trusting the talent God gave me. And, you know, the one of the biggest things, too, is my teammates trust me. You know, me and Dalton talked the other day, and, you know, he has the utmost respect in me, and I have the utmost respect in him. And I needed to hear that, you know, that just, you know, the team still rallies behind me, and they still, you know, want me to be at the helm and love me, you know, through the thick and the thin. So, yeah, it feels good to, you know, still have the backs of my teammate, and, you know, to be able to go out there on Sundays and do what I need to do to win the game.
I think the thing about CJ is that he's at the opposite end of the spectrum of Anthony Richardson, where with Anthony Richardson, it sounds a whole lot like they've had to explain to Anthony Richardson, hey, you need to take this thing more seriously. This whole thing about being the franchise quarterback and like being the leader of the team, that when Shane Steichen gets up and says, hey, we're bringing Anthony Richardson back because he's learned how to pay attention to detail better in the weight room and in meetings and taking notes and things like that, that's a rough problem to have, man, because you're kind of hoping that, like, oh, gosh, I hope our quarterback starts taking it seriously.
Right.
With CJ, I think it's the opposite end of the spectrum, where you worry that he's a guy that's always going to press really, really hard. And usually that's a good thing, but there can be times where you start to get down on yourself, or you start to just take too much on your shoulders. And learning how to release some of that pressure and some of that tension, I think that's the challenge with CJ Stroud, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah, for
I would
sure.
much rather, I would 400,000 times prefer having that problem than hoping that my young quarterback doesn't take himself out of the game when it's 3rd and goal and you're down by 10. Yeah.
Or decides to study that week, you know?
Right, like, right. Decides to take notes in meetings, apparently.
Yeah, you're 100% correct on that. Here's one more from CJ. Then I've got a Bobby Slowick-related question. This is CJ kind of following up on what he was saying at the end of that cut there, man. He just needs to start taking big swings again.
I would say you can say 3 plays, but when you watch the film, it's like 15. And honestly, I would say this. The perspective that I have after a game is just move on. There's no point of harping back, but at the same time, learn from your mistakes. And I was able to do that with, you know, my coaches and my teammates. And I feel like when I play freely and I play with a mindset of it doesn't matter what happens, and that's how, you know, I kind of played in college, was like, and that's what Coach Dave used to tell me, swing as hard as you can. And I feel like, you know, maybe I haven't been doing that lately. And I've been kind of like babying throws here, like, you know, trying to just like, you know, take care of the whole grand scheme of things. And yeah, that's my responsibility, but also swing as hard as I can. And so that's what I plan to do. You know, I don't even know why I even thought like that, but that's my perspective now, is like swing and, you know, knock something out, you know, no matter what it is. But, and I feel like I have that capability through the talent I have. And I also have put it on film time and time again. So I just got to go back and just be myself more and more and more and more and more and more and believe in myself and swing as hard as I can.
And honestly, a lot of this is the same thing that Josh Allen was going through last year, much, you know, further along in his NFL journey. But where Josh Allen was, when they changed coordinators, you could see him kind of consciously making the decision of, oh, okay, back, like, I used to just, you know, take this quick hit to Stephon Diggs where maybe I need to extend the play. But then there were other times where he would extend the play and he should have just taken the quick, the easy money. And in trying to find that balance as a quarterback, that's getting to that next level, that 301 level processing. It's hard. It's not just, you know, it's not a linear progression of growth for quarterbacks in the NFL. The difficulty gets harder and harder the longer you go and the more your tendencies come out. And I think when you look to that Tank Dell missed opportunity, the interception that C.J. Stroud, I mean, a lot of people have been saying, no, C.J.'s got to read more low to high. He's got to stop trying to take these deep shots. He's got to take what the defense gives him. I think in boot situations like that especially, yeah, he's thinking, all right, I got to take the easy money, go low to high. And it made him a little hesitant to just pull the trigger on that and just let it rip. And that's just finding that balance, and it's hard to work through and it's hard to watch, but that's where he is right now, and I trust he's going to work his way through it. The absence of Nico in the long run could end up being a really good thing, because CJ's been exposed to some issues and some obstacles that he hasn't necessarily had to deal with all that up until now.
I agree with you. The when I hear CJ talking about this at a very basic level, I'm thinking to myself about him, hey, let it rip, swing big. At a very basic level, I'm like, he hasn't had time to do anything to swing big at it. Like, yeah. The offensive line is culpable in some of what CJ Stroud is going through right now, I think. You know, like he's had no time to think about swing big, swing small, think or anything like that. The other thing I think too is like, okay, some of this is Bobby Slowick also. Like, I was seeing some stats popping up on my timeline yesterday about the Texans running on passing downs.
On second and long and third and long. Yeah.
And how stagnant it's made the offense, because they can't do it. They're not good at it. And what's the end result? You have C.J. Stroud in more third and long situations than any other quarterback in football by far, behind an offensive line that can't block on long passing down situations,
he's,
you know?
The thing is, Slowick's operating in a way of how he would call plays if things were ideal.
Yes.
Like, if you had a run game that you could really genuinely trust, whereas it's been a bit of an illusion with the statistics that Mixon's had all these 100-plus yard games, but they haven't been consistently running the ball success. Their success rate has not been
good. Colts game in week one, that's it.
Right. Where it's been some big chunk plays, but it's not one that you can rely on any given down to get you 3, 4, 5 yards.
That's right.
So Slowick's operating like, oh, had an incomplete pass on first down. Let's get into third and manageable. We'll run the ball. All right. Well, more times than not, that means that you just make it 3rd and 10. And that's when Slowick decides to, again, either run the ball or throw a screen that the defense knows is coming.
Yeah.
And it's not been working out. You know, even sometimes on 3rd and 10, you might run the ball thinking, yeah, maybe we'll get into a 4th and go-for-it situation.
If you're on the other side of the 50, Yeah.
And it hasn't worked out that way. That's been the frustrating part, is that it's almost like Slowick's operating from a game plan of a team, a foundation that doesn't exist right now.
It's 100%. It's a great observation. 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. The Texans should have, this is a text, the Texans should have a loyal fan base in Dallas similar to how the Lions were in Houston. It's funny you bring that up. D'Amico Ryans was asked about that yesterday, and they asked him, what would it mean to you to have loud Texan fans, like they did the last time they played up there in 2022. I'm thinking of 2014 where Tony Romo had to go to a silent count in his own home stadium.
For the first time in that stadium, yeah. They had to go to a silent count.
That's right. That's right. In 2014. So what would it mean to you if that happened on Monday night?
That would mean everything to us. We can get our fans' support there, and you know we can, you know, cause some havoc for them when they're on offense. I mean, if our fans show up like that, man, that would be outstanding. I know our guys would be very appreciative of that. You know, we've seen that a couple times in our stadium where the opposing team, their fans have, you know, shown up and shown out and been loud. So for us to do that on the road, we really appreciate that from our fans.
I was wondering if he was going to mention that it's happened, including the Sunday night game against Detroit, where it's happened with opposing fans at NRG this year.
Yeah, and the Texans had to go to a silent count on the infamous Titus Howard strip sack play.
Yeah.
Where Titus Howard strip sacked the quarterback. Yeah. They had to go to a silent count on that play. Yep. And, you know, Laremy Tunsil got beat right off the snap. Now, Laremy never turns down an opportunity to have the center be the source of blame for any bad play of his,
right?
And that was, it might have been accurate on that one. So I can tell you from personal experience, the only time I can remember was when I was with the Jaguars. We went up and we played Atlanta. Similar situation, easy drive for the local fan base to get up to Atlanta, and we had a noise advantage at times in that game on defense, and it's fun. It is a really cool feeling. You're like, oh crap! It's because you're not expecting it. You know, and all of a sudden there was one end zone, there was a huge block of tickets of Jaguars fans, and it got hard for the Falcons to operate down in that end zone. It was really cool. Like, you get, like, when you're on the road and you can turn to a section and do the hands up, make some noise gesture as a defensive player, that's a good time.
Oh, dude, that's
fun, man.
You're accomplishing two things with that. You're getting your own fans riled up, and you're almost taunting the Atlanta fans.
Yes!
You know
what
I mean? Like, you're almost trolling the home fans in that
stadium.
It's
a good little trick, too, as a defensive player, because sometimes you can do that, and if you time it right, the drunken Cowboys fans don't realize that they're being baited. So even if there's no Texans fans, you get so many boos from you asking for noise.
It gets loud.
Because the idiots are like, no, boo! We're not going to make noise for you! Boo!
Okay, well, that's,
then it becomes an issue for the quarterback.
That's where we did have some fans on Sunday, some Texan fans, and if you were one of them, I'm talking about you right now, that when the Lion fans were starting to make some noise, you contributed to it by booing the Lion.
You're
making
fans.
It worse by booing. It's noise. Any noise makes it worse, so don't boo when the other team's fans
it's like
are
like
doing
like you're getting
that.
Waterboarded and you're handing your canteen of water to your terrorizer, interrogator.
The the inside the NFL crew, Bill Belichick, Chris Long, Ryan Clark, they did a breakdown of the silent count play that the Texans had to run at home on Sunday, and here was the crew talking about that.
The get off, Chris, these two edge players, of course, the Texans have four open, so no help for the tackles. Looks like they could have used some.
Yeah, that group in general could use some help. And coach, it's wild that they're on silent count at home. That used to be a Green Bay, Philadelphia Eagle fan thing. They take over your stadium, but now the Lions fans.
Yes.
Down in Houston.
Mm-hmm. So good pressure, and then eventually the Lions sack him here, but the coverage takes away that under route.
Yeah.
But here it is, same play from the end zone. As you said right there, Chris, there's a silent count at home. At home.
Wow.
I mean, it tells you, though, how Detroit is sort of becoming America's team.
They're one of America's teams now.
Yeah, they're one of America's teams.
Well, there you go. That's the takeaway there. What they showed on that, Seth, I don't know if you saw the video. When they said, there's the silent count right there, they circled Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson, and Juice was like reaching out.
Yeah, tapping him. Yeah.
Is that what it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just a regular dude. I don't know how a silent count gets executed. Like, that was interesting.
And people always get frustrated with a silent count because they, you know, you see the center bob his head. And then the snap comes and people think like, oh, that's easy to game. Well, you can go on two. And if you're a smart team, they can go on the second head bob.
You're a smart
but
team.
The Texans' offensive line is at the position right now where they're nervous to use hard counts. They're nervous to use going on two with a silent count. All of that because you can't trust the offensive line to do it. I mean, it's high school level stuff, and it happens in the NFL. It's like, well, we can't trust to do the simplest of things with this offensive line because they're trying to perform what amounts to calculus in their heads when it comes to picking up games and stunts. Yeah, and also, like, the other thing the Texans' offensive line can't do right now, dummy calls on the offensive line, because you heard Za'Darius Smith after the game say that, hey, just listen to their protection calls, and then we know exactly what's coming, and there you have it. Because usually what'll happen is the offensive line will call out their protections, and it's obvious. Okay, if it's slide right, they say rip. If it's slide left, they say Liz. Yeah. Something like that. A word that starts with R or a word that starts with L. The way you get around that is on certain plays, the offensive line knowing what the protection is, but just giving a fake call.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think you can trust these guys to give fake calls.
Oh my God!
Because one of them's gonna believe the fake call.
The Texans,
you've always got one guy that's gonna believe the fake call.
Yeah,
and it turns his brain to liquid. I think that's where the Texans might be with their offensive line.
The Texans
line
are
now.
The sucker. You know that line at the beginning of Rounders, the movie, the Matt Damon movie in the late 90s about poker. The very first line in the movie. If you're at a poker table and you can't spot the sucker in the first 30 minutes, you are the sucker. That's them. They're the guy at the poker table going, I sure don't have pocket aces right now, I tells you.
Well,
sure don't. I got a bad hand.
The same thing happens on with defenses because, okay, you might call out the blitz based on, you know, same thing, Ringo or, Liz or whatever it might be. You know, in the offensive line, they're going to figure that out. The quarterback's going to figure that out. So you want to give dummy calls.
Right.
But there's always one guy that you can't trust with a dummy call.
Yeah, there's a dummy on every team. Or at least
God forbid, if beforehand you say, listen, the linebacker might say, listen, I'm going to call Liz. If I say Liz, it means rip. If I say rip, it means Liz. There's one guy you can't trust. There's going to be one guy that screws it up.
Do you feel like the Texans
but
only
you gotta
have
go
one?
You got to go for it.
I feel like the Texans have more than one, too. That's the thing. That's the problem. Yeah. Oh, God. Text message, 5-Hour Energy Fan Line. Good morning, Seth and Sean. Don't destroy me on air either, please. I have a question. Why are people walking on eggshells with us?
I didn't destroy anybody this morning.
No. But remember, somebody before asked not to be destroyed. Like in the 6 o'clock hour, someone asked, don't destroy me on this. Yeah.
Okay.
Should anybody from the Texans get fired if they lose this game? Great show. God bless.
The guy that's most that would be most in danger, I think, is Bobby Slowick, and I don't think that's happening.
I think Chris Strouser would be in more danger than Bobby
Slowick. Oh, yeah. I think Chris Strouser is definitely way more in danger at this point.
Yeah.
And I'll honestly, you know, going back to an old Belichick philosophy, which is, you know, how good are your position coaches? Well, how well is that position performing?
There you go.
And, you know, you got to look at, you know, within reason, you got to look at who they've got out there playing and everything. But so far, this offensive line has not looked like a well-coached unit. So, yeah, the simplest thing is that you swap out offensive line coach.
Yep. Text message. I read that one already. Let's get to the circle of swarm. I'll take a look back at the text here in just a minute on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. But it's Friday, and even though they play on Monday, we will do the Payne and Pendergast Circle of Swarm.
You know, D'Amico always says, swarm.
What we're looking for is players, right, who are looking to swarm.
The swarm mindset, that whole mentality.
Right, we want players to have a special work ethic and a relentless mindset in everything that they do.
Who's in?
This is a special group of men, believe it.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Texans Circle of Swarm.
All right, Circle of Swarm, we do it each and every week. It is a combination of looking back at past performance, along with very recent performance, with a sliver of this is who we need to swarm coming up this weekend or this Monday against the Cowboys. I'm for the first time, Seth, just real quick, looking back at our Week 10 Circle of Swarm and see how we did here. Last week, our Circle of Swarm was Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. Joe had a tough one. Tank Dell, Tank had a tough one. But they both had good games the week before. Danielle Hunter, D'Nico Autry, Azeez Al-Shaair, Derek Stingley Jr., they all swarmed like crazy in that game. So we did good last week. All right, week 11, Circle of Swarm. Past performance plus looking ahead to the Cowboys. You go first, my friend. I like
okay,
it when
you I'm going
lead
to. This player is so good that recent performance doesn't factor into this at all. A man who very strategically proved his Texans MVP status by being absent for 5 weeks, Nico Collins.
Yeah, I got Nico on my list, too. Yeah.
I mean, without Nico Collins, you know, in the the Colts game and the Bills game, especially. The Bills game in which he only played one quarter of football. You don't win those games probably without Nico Collins.
Yeah.
And likewise, the other ones too. But notably, huge strikes by Nico Collins in those games where he didn't necessarily do a whole lot offensively otherwise. I'm going to say Nico Collins.
Yep.
Numero uno.
Nico's a good one for sure. I like that Nico Collins one. I'm going to keep the first one. I'm just going to keep simple. He was back on the field on Sunday night for the Texans. He made a huge difference. He was their leading tackler. He was all over the field. He had a couple of TFLs. He's the leader of the defense. To me, if we give out a swarmy at the end of the year for the for this team, he's, you know, for the most appearances in the circle of swarm. The only thing that's hurting him was being absent for a few weeks. Azeez Al-Shaair is, to me, an easy choice to put into the circle of swarm, and I think you need him this Monday night as well.
Yeah, good call. Good call there.
Yep.
But for some matchups, like, okay, it's unfortunate when he ends up hooked up on Amon Ross St. Brown and what have you.
Can't blame him for that, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will go. This is going to be an interesting one for this guy this week.
Mm-hmm.
And based on last week's performance, but now how does this guy fare with the return of Nico Collins? John Mechie.
Yeah, Mechie's on my list.
So John Mechie in the circle of swarm.
Yep.
Might be the first time we've had two wide receivers in the circle of swarm at the same time.
Maybe this year. We've had multiple offensive players. We did multiple offensive players last week, but this might be the first time we've had two guys from the same position group in the circle of swarm. And how optimistic are you about Mechie that what he did on Sunday is a harbinger that he's going to be, I'm not going to say more involved because Nico's coming back. Like, Nico's going to soak up a lot of targets, but that Mechie becomes a viable number three in this offense.
Well, no, especially with some of the things that should open up underneath. I think that's where John Mechie's going to thrive. If Nico's stretching the field, that there will be more opportunities for John Mechie. And, I don't think he's ever going to, you know, I wouldn't predict that he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler or anything else like that. But if he can get really good in this scheme and be a complementary piece, then, yeah, I think he can become that reliable weapon for CJ to look to and feel more comfortable, you know, coming across on the second or third read to John Mechie. That's what I hope for with John Mechie.
Yeah, that was really nice to see. And his touchdown catch, man, that catch, like going up in between a couple of guys, taking a hit in the end zone, like that was great to see. No, I'm with you on Mechie. I totally agree on that one. My next one, and this is a guy who I'm not feeling great about playing this weekend, but he was really, really good. He was really, really good on Sunday on the stat sheet, but also noticeably the defense had to change when he came out of the game, and it's Kamari Lazarus. Kamari Lazarus, who may have been a victim of the swarm mentality, if you think about it, because it was Jimmy Ward swarming that knocked Lazarus out of the game, you know?
I wasn't going to put Lazarus in just because he's currently in the concussion protocol, and I don't like putting somebody in who might not even play on Sunday.
Okay.
So, and then that kind of puts me in a bind because instead of Lazarus, I was going to choose Stingley.
Okay.
Who's doing the exact thing you want out of a really good cornerback, which is he's doing it quietly.
Yeah.
Teams just flat out aren't targeting him, and they're generally not successful when they do target him.
Yeah.
Whew, but now I got a game where you're going to go next because I really want Danielle Hunter in there. But I can't leave Derek Stingley. Stingley's probably been out of the circle swarm too many times this year, so I'll put Derek Stingley.
Stingley. Sorry about taking up a dead spot with a guy who might not play there. That's my bad.
Yeah.
You're probably right. You're probably right about that. Kamari Lassiter, you got a nice little bonus week in the circle of swarm. All right, so for the last one here, you know what? I'll go ahead and put Danielle Hunter in for you. How's that? I'll make sure Danielle Hunter gets in there because the pass rush didn't, you know, get, like, quote-unquote, get home at all. They didn't sack, Jared Goff at all in that game. But the pass rush was a big reason, maybe the biggest reason, why he went 15 for 30 in that game.
Yeah, I mean the Danico Autry's pressure for the interception to Henry Toa Toa for one, it was very close to just being, it might as well have been a sack.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the pass rush was fine in that game. That wasn't the issue.
Had I not put Lassiter in, who would you put in there? Who would have been the sixth person for you there that actually might
see.
Play?
You, put it, that's a, you know what, though? That's a very good point.
Yeah. Let me throw a couple names at you and see if you...
Yeah.
Would Jalen Petrie deserve to be in there? Got that tip
of
the
ball?
Oh,
yeah, probably would have been Jalen Petrie.
Petrie was swarming a lot on Sunday.
Yeah. He was very, very swarming. He's out of concussion. Petrie, unlike Lassiter, had the good sense to tank his pre-testing on his concussion protocol.
Yeah, he set the baseline real low.
Yeah, rookie move, Lassiter. You tried hard on your baseline testing.
That's it, man.
You got to act real dumb when you go into that baseline testing.
I wrote down Danico Autry's name on my list here. I wrote down Devin White's name only because I just jotted it down. Devin White. But there was a play that Devin White made in this game that popped up on my timeline yesterday. I'm like, whoo, he got shot out of a cannon on that play.
Yeah, on that blitz.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, but he is just overall, but he's a situational player.
Situational guy. No, I'm not saying put him in.
He played a bunch in the first week, and then, they're going to use him at times.
Yeah.
If he became a full-time player, then maybe.
Yep. Yeah. No, I was just jotting it down as a reminder, and then I went and checked. I'm like, no, he didn't play enough snaps to deserve inclusion there. All right, so there you go. That's your circle of swarm. We're getting people weighing in on it now. Kalen Bullock, put some respect on them rookies' names, LOL. Bullock probably deserved consideration, I would say, with that interception. I love, man, when there's a ball going up in Kalen Bullock's direction, it's fun to watch. He's got a great chance of coming down with it. Let's see here. Text messages to the 5-hour energy fan line. How does it look if Mechie takes on that number three almost like a tight end check down and using that tight end as a pocket protector? So use Mechie as your number three target and have your tight end stay in more. But the problem is the tight ends are not great blockers.
I'm having a hard time understanding the question.
I'll just read it verbatim.
There is no number three. I guess.
Yeah.
I'd like to just him get more targets. I think he got more targets than Schultz last time. My other question would be, have you guys watched Dalton Schultz in pass protection?
Right.
Have you, like, this is part of the problem. Yeah. It's that, okay, the play we played earlier where, hey, they did everything that, spread it out a little bit. And they tried to rely on their five offensive linemen to provide pass protection. CJ gets strip sacked by his own offensive tackle on that play. So they say, okay, well, we'll bring the tight ends and wide receivers in, and that way we'll have extra bodies and we'll block. But, oh, yeah, those guys can't block either. So, sure. Yeah, have John Mechie get more targets like he did last week.
Yeah, let's see. Can members of the staff be put in the circle of swarm? No, it's players only. It's like their meetings that they hold. It's players only.
Circle of staff members in the circle of swarm?
Well,
no.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, like, D'Amico did invent the term, but no, you can't have a staff member in there for the circle of swarm.
Are they suggesting somebody? Who is that?
No, they're just asking.
Member?
No, they're just asking.
Ask them to suggest somebody.
Texture.
Yeah, suggest who you want on there that's better than Alshire.
They were making a big deal about I can't remember which team last night. They were making a big deal about how many former players were on the coaching staff. I forget if it was Washington or Philadelphia. Like, they have 14 former players on the coaching staff. And I thought to myself, okay, well, that's interesting. You know, because much is being made about making former players head coaches right now because of Dan Campbell's success, D'Amico Ryan's success, Deion Sanders being a topic. And I started thinking about the Texans staff, and I'm like, man, they hardly have any former players on the staff. Like, D'Amico's a former player as a coach, but neither of their coordinate, right? I mean, Bobby Slowick, certainly not a former player. I mean, not at the NFL. They're talking about former NFL players for Philly and Washington. Matt Burke, no. A lot of the position coaches, no. I don't know what to make of that here or there. I don't know why they were making such a big deal out of it on the broadcast. But I'm like, okay, if it's such a big deal, what's happening with my team? And I'm going, wow, my team doesn't have a lot of players. Should I feel angst over this right
now? I don't think it's not like one of those things. There's been plenty of, you know, it's not like all of a sudden that's the must have. The vast majority of Super Bowl champion teams.
Tell that to Al Michaels, Seth.
That many. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, they were making a big deal out of it.
It's the wave
broadcast
of the future is hiring former players.
I guess. I don't know.
I think I'd much prefer this coaching staff to remember Bill O'Brien's first coaching staff. they had like three guys with any NFL coaching experience whatsoever. That's an exaggeration, but they had a whole bunch of guys that were college dudes cronies of B.O.B. that didn't necessarily look like they had a resume that they should be an NFL assistant coach.
If you wanted to win nine games in the Big Ten, you had the right staff to do it with back in 2014.
You had to, right. Yeah. Right, you wanted a crack squad of guys that knew how to coach Penn State to a better outcome than people expected, but still not all that great.
If you wanted to win nine games, that's the right staff. Nine games in the Big Ten where you go 9-3, or nine games in the NFL where you go 9-7 3 years in a row.
Like well, Brian always wanted homegrown guys, you know, guys who had studied at his foot for years and years and years, and then they earned their spot as a mediocre NFL
dude. They're still
coach.
With him. Like Doug Marrone is his offensive line coach. At
well,
Boston
Marrone at
College,
least was an NFL guy, but he was an NFL guy. He had a bunch of guys on there that were just guys that had never sniffed the NFL.
Okay, Will Lawing is his offensive coordinator at Boston College.
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
A good example.
Yeah.
Will Lawing followed him from
everywhere,
from college straight up to where he is now,
and back to college again. Like he was on the staff at Alabama, and it's you know, it's wild. Because they're not good. Text message to the 5 Hour Energy fan line. Thank you, Seth. Our tight end blocking sucks on the pass and run. You basically got a finally somebody said it text right there, Seth, from somebody. Yeah.
I don't. Am I the only? No. No. Plenty of people have been pointing this out. Those guys can't block.
I'm joking.
I'm kidding.
Let's see here. Maybe Mechie can pass block. Boy, there was a rep that I saw of Mechie where they had him in their run blocking, and he got matched up against one of the defensive ends on the Lions, and he got steamrolled.
That is one of the things where Nico Collins coming back does pay dividends, is that he's a very good blocker and a big body. Yeah. I mean, there's times where it looks great on the whiteboard because all this little guy has to do, this wide receiver, is just get in the way of the defensive end for a little bit, and then it's just not always so simple or easy.
It is not. All right, you can text us, 5 Hour Energy fan line, 5 Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Up next is the doppelganger for this Texans team here at 6-4 actually a recent Super Bowl team? I will explain. I'll run it by Seth. We'll do that coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
I had a conversation with my son James the other day about the Texans and talking about, like, okay, what direction could the season go and whatnot. And he actually planted this seed in my head and got talking about the 2021 Bengals. And the Bengals were a team that, Seth, if you recall, that was Joe Burrow year two. Kind of came out of nowhere, not came out of nowhere to ascend to be a playoff team necessarily. They you know, much improved over his rookie year, but made a run, ended up making a run to the Super Bowl. And it's interesting because there are a lot of similarities between those two teams. Are the 2021 Bengals the doppelganger for the Texans if the Texans are going to make a deep run here? Both 6-4, 10 games into the 2021 season. Both in year two of a rebuild. Now, the rebuild for the Texans was far more successful in year one than the Bengals. The Bengals lost Joe Burrow to injury. They were very competitive with Burrow, but they didn't have a great record. Texans actually had a good record to go with their competitiveness. But the Bengals had bad losses in those four games, the same way the Texans have had a bad loss or two. They lost to the Jets and the Bears. They got blown out by 25 by the Browns. That was back when Baker was still the quarterback there. Mm-hmm. They were very average running the football, even though they had Joe Mixon as their running back. They pounded Mixon that year. He was third in the league in carries that season. I think Mixon had played all season this year. If he hadn't missed those three games, he might lead the league in carries right now, either him or Derrick Henry Jr. I don't know if Derrick Henry's a junior or not, but Derrick Henry. Maybe the biggest similarity is that the offensive line for that team, if you recall with the Bengals, was not good at protecting Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was sacked 51 times. Like, Joe Burrow had to put the cape on a lot that year, the same way C.J. Stroud is being asked to do this year. He was sacked 51 times. He was sacked 9 times in a playoff win over the Tennessee Titans that season in the postseason.
Yeah.
So I just think I think it's interesting, and maybe it's a question for Joe Mixon. You know, if any of the guys who do open locker room are listening, it might be a fair question to ask Mixon. Like, hey, man, that Bengals team you were on that went to the Super Bowl, surprisingly, that year, and beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead in the postseason that year. You guys were 6-4 also at that point in the season. You wound up finishing 10-7. Do you see any similarities between this team and that team? You know, young coaches too, you know?
Right, right. And with Burrow, I mean, part of it was with Burrow when he was younger, he was a guy that would take a lot of sacks that he didn't necessarily need to be taking. If you look at CJ this year, he's holding on to the ball longer, but he's still not, like, up there in the top five. And I don't think him holding on to the ball long has been nearly as much an issue for him as it was for Joe Burrow back then. So that part of it is encouraging in that, yes, the Bengals were able to figure it out with some really good skill position players.
Really
too.
Good, yes.
You know, so a Jamar Chase versus a Nico Collins type of scenario.
Yep.
It makes a big difference for a young quarterback, especially, to have guys like that. And, you know, we've seen, I always try to think of, yeah, what would Pat Mahomes have looked like without Tyreek Hill in his first couple of years?
Mm-hmm.
The numbers weren't good without Tyreek Hill in those seasons. So Nico Collins is a much bigger absence than you want to even acknowledge or admit, because you want to believe, like, oh no, this quarterback can go out there and drive an old jalopy to an Indy 500 championship.
That's
or
right.
Indy 500 win. Like, no, it's more nuanced than that. And he desperately needs his version of Jamar Chase back.
Yeah, I think if we're comparing to the he needs his Jamar Chase back. No question. And you know what? And Tank needs to be, you know, what T. Higgins was to that team. You know, like T. as a viable number two. I think the thing, if we're just doing the comparison here to the 2021 Bengals, again, 6-4, 10 games in, and not thought to be a contender, young team developing, but they were able to put it all together in the postseason that year.
Yeah.
They did catch kind of a, it sounds weird to say because they had to go through Kansas City. You're going to have to go through hard teams to get to the Super Bowl. That was a year where, if you recall, the Tennessee Titans somehow found a way to be the number one seed in kind of a ratchet AFC that year. And so the Bengals got to go to Nashville and face Ryan Tannehill in the postseason, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, that was the game where he got sacked 9 times against Tennessee. But that was not a formidable number one seed. Like, this year, you're going to have to go through. If you plan on being anything but the 1 or 2 seed, you're going to have to probably go through any or all of Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore to get to a Super Bowl. You know, and I think that's where the questions come in. Clearly, that Bengals team was equipped to go win a game in Kansas City in the postseason by locking down Patrick Mahomes. And how did they do it, Seth? They did it by making amazing halftime adjustments in that game. You remember, like, that was a game where the Chiefs couldn't do anything offensively in the second half of that football game.
Yeah,
and do
we
trust the Texans staff to be able to do what Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo and that whole staff did in Cincinnati that year?
Yeah, the Kamari Lassiter, in terms of just the whole picture and being the kind of team that, you know, this team's going to need to be, they can't rely on their offense to be juggernauts, you know, unless something changes to an extreme degree between now and the end of the season. So you're going to need a very high performance defense. And right now, I feel like the defense is right, like, pushing up against the glass ceiling of being a genuinely great defense. And I can make excuses for them in the fourth quarter, to the dam finally breaking and all of that. But I still do have reservations about their ability to stop the run when they need to stop the run.
Yeah.
Just like I don't trust the Texans to run the ball when they need to run the ball. I don't trust that versus teams like the Lions, that defense can hold up against the run, or I'll include screens by running backs in that through four quarters. They're a little light in the pants defensively at times.
If you could pick, if the league came to you, you know, you're Nick Caserio, and they said, hey, man, you can pick one defensive player off of any other team in the league and add him to your defense right now. Because what it sounds like what you're saying is, like, they're bumping up against that glass ceiling. Like, there's just, you know, if there's one thing they could improve to become a truly elite defense, like, if you could pick one guy off another team that would be, like, the finishing touches on this defense.
I would probably say Dexter Lawrence.
Bingo! That was mine, too. Yes.
Is that Dexter Lawrence?
I wrote Dexter Lawrence down on my page right here.
He's one of these freakazoid new age defensive tackles.
Yep.
It's both pass rusher and run stuffer.
I was going to say to you, I'm like, I already got my answer, but what's yours? Mine was Dexter Lawrence. Yes. Can you imagine? Oh, dude. It's fun to think about. Fun to think about.
Yeah, so where Kamari Lassiter factors in on that is that, yeah, look, they're a little light. They play with two linebackers a lot. And when the ability to play man on third down is huge, but the ability to play man on second and long too, to where you can blitz, you can play more aggressive coverages, and load the box, all of that. This team needs to be able to do that, and it's really hard to do that without Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley both out there.
Yep, yep. That same question I just asked Seth, I'll put to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. If you could add one defensive player, any from any team, to the Texans, who would it be? 713-572-4610 text message. Okay, you got me convinced, Sean. Super Bowl back on. The Bengals.
Yeah, you're in the doldrums right now. This has been an extreme lull. You've lost 3 of 4 games. So over the course of the last month, it's not been fun at the end of Texans games more times than not. But there's you can almost throw a dart at the wall and find a situation where, okay, yeah, teams dug themselves out of a midseason lull and became a different team by the end of the year. It's just, this team doesn't have the same track record that the Chiefs do.
Nope.
Chiefs, you trust. Okay, we've seen them do it time and time again. Not to mention climb back from double-digit deficits in the playoffs, all of that.
Yeah.
You trust that they're going to be able to do it. The same way you trust that the Astros are going to be a different team in the playoffs than they are in the regular season more times than not. We just don't have that trust level with the Texans yet.
We did get the answer to the question that I was looking for from Shane Steichen. You pointed this out to me yesterday. I guess I just didn't stick around through the rest of that press conference. But they're replacing Joe Flacco with Anthony Richardson. And my question was, okay, do you think that, and I didn't hear anybody ask it, but apparently it did get asked, and you'll hear it here in 2 seconds. But do you feel like Anthony Richardson actually gives you a better chance to win than Flacco when you just benched him 2 weeks ago and said we're sticking with Flacco through the end of the year?
Do you think that Anthony gives you the best chance to win?
Yeah. I think whoever's out there gives us the best chance to win. I'm going to give strength to every player on our football team, that whoever's out there is going to give us the best chance to win.
He David Culley'd it, Sean. He David Culley'd it. Is that when David Culley was asked what made him choose the Texans job or choose to accept the Texans job?
Yeah.
It's that it was one of 32 jobs.
Yeah.
And he was going to take whoever offered him a job.
It's very inspiring.
I took this job simply because there's 32 of these in this league.
So Shane Steichen, when asked if Anthony Richardson gives them the best chance to win, he said, whoever's on the field gives us the best chance to win. So sure. Yeah.
I took Anthony Richardson and put him out there because he is one of 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Yes.
I'm the guy who has introduced a new starting quarterback for the second time in 3 weeks, saying this will be the starting quarterback for the rest of the year.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
So, what do you expect me to give you? A straight answer on this? He doesn't trust or believe in Anthony Richardson one bit.
Patrick,
there's a whole big mess of hand-wringing and clenched buttholes there in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Patrick Sertan's getting some love on the 5 Hour Energy fan line for the one guy they would take to cap off this defense here for the Texans. That'd be some firepower at corner right there with Sertan on one side, Stingley on the other, and you can bump Lassiter down into the slot.
Yeah, it would. I feel like you've already, Lou, you're not allowed to stack a strength on a strength. Oh, now, okay, of course, if Lassiter doesn't play, you're seeing exactly, all right, if you're going to rely this much on cornerbacks who are good in man coverage, then yeah, it's nice to always have two of them.
Yep.
So okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
I still think a huge hoss in the front seven would make a bigger difference in terms of just the when healthy that this team can go out and slug it out with anybody.
Yes.
Right now, I fear the teams that can genuinely run the football.
I agree.
I think the Texans have to rely on their scheme and swarm mentality too much right now when they've really got to stop the run in the fourth quarter.
I'm also leaving one spot open for 5 Reasons I Hate You that we're going to do in about 30 minutes for you guys. This should be an easy one. I've got 4 of them. I'm leaving one open for you guys. The best reason to hate the Dallas Cowboys that we get on the 5 Hour Energy fan line, I will add to 5 Reasons I Hate You. So send in now, 713-572-4610. The biggest spectacle this weekend also had the greatest interview of all time yesterday, and you're about to hear it coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.